You get it? You know, if you don't get it, you probably don't understand youth ministry, but that's another story. Actually, this was a card that was sent to me by a former student of mine. Guess what his occupation is? Youth ministry. Yeah, he's a youth pastor, that's right. So it does have a sense of humor and a sense of nostalgia for me. We're talking about the Ten Commandments, of course, right? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, some people might say, this is the book of life. You ever heard that? Of course it is. One reason it's the book of life is it tells us how to live life, written by the creator of life. You want to know how something works? Read the instruction manual written by the person who built whatever it is that you're working with, right? Could be a reason. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Because he wanted us to know how to treat other people, right? That's certainly true. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Audience participation time.
We know more about his character.
We know more about his character. Have you been reading my notes? This is what Moses said. If you are pleased with me, he's talking to God. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. If we know the instructions about life given to us by God, that is going to lead us into a greater knowledge of who God is. I missed that last part here. Let me go back to it if I can. Not all the way back. So many of our laws today reflect what God teaches us in the 10 words, the 10 commandments. You realize that? Our laws in the United States and in most civilized countries say what? Well, you shall not steal. Where'd we get that idea that stealing was wrong? It's in the 10 commandments. You're not supposed to lie. You ever go to court? Put on a witness stand? What does the judge ask you to do? Tell the truth. We want truth. We honor truth. Why? It's in the Ten Commandments, right? There are so many laws on the books today that reflect morality that we learned from God's Word. God's Word gives us many precepts, commandments, laws, rules. A precept is simply a commandment that is put there for our good. It is to instruct us about how God wants us to live. A mentor of mine used to say this to me all the time. Do not follow rules. Follow the principle behind the rule. Principle, the reason why behind the precepts. There is a reason that God has given us these Ten Commandments. To know him, but also to help appreciate one another. Remember how Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments? He said the Ten Commandments can really be put into two statements. What is the first statement?
Love the Lord your God.
What's the second statement? Love your neighbor. You understand that life is based on relationships, right? The vertical relationship between me and God establishes then the horizontal relationship that I can have with other people. You take away that vertical relationship, it is going to alter, it is going to affect, sometimes it's even going to destroy the horizontal relationships that we have with one another. There is a reason why God has given us these Ten Commandments. The principle is the why behind the precept. When you were a child, maybe as recently as yesterday, somebody told you to do something. What's the first question out of your mind, out of your mouth, right? Why? We have got to understand the why. That's what we're following. The letter of the law brings death. The spirit of the law brings life. We don't just follow the rule. We follow the principle behind the rule. Sometimes culture changes, which means rules change. But the principle is always the same because God is always the same. Didn't we just sing that? God never changes, right? And so his laws, the reason why his laws are, those never change as well. But of course, it is supposed to bring us to the person behind the precepts, the person behind the principles is God. Get this next statement, please. Rules without relationships lead to rebellion. There is not a teacher in this room, there is not a parent in this room that doesn't understand that statement, right? I can tell kids all day long, do this, don't do that. But if I don't have a relationship with them, are they going to listen to me? Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Mankind today is in rebellion against God. And because there is no relationship, are people today going to follow God's laws? Is this beginning to make sense? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You recognize this? We used to sing this psalm up at camp all the time, right? The law, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Do you notice that I've highlighted some of the words in these verses? I want you to know that these words do not describe the law. These words describe God. Perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, sure, righteous. God's laws should lead us to an understanding of who God is. Moses said again in Deuteronomy, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." Does God change? Of course not. Does the principles that God expects us to live by ever change? No, because God doesn't change. Some people think about the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament. Oh, that's not for us today. I got news for you. God never rescinded the Ten Commandments. He never rescinded them. He never took them back. He said, never said, "Oh, that was for then, back then, that's not for us today." Matter of fact, this is what Jesus said. "I have come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Why did God give us the law? So we can know him. And Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because the Father and I are one. I am here to show you God." God never changes. His principles never change. Should we observe the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. How many times in the New Testament does it command us to be godly, to be Christ-like? How are we supposed to do that? Follow the examples written in the law that describe the behavior, the character, and the nature of God himself. Follow the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, can I go further than that? When was the last time you had devotions from the book of Leviticus or the book of Deuteronomy? Some people might be asking, Deuter who? Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days? And with each temptation, how did Jesus respond? He quoted a verse from the book of Deuteronomy. "Oh, but Bob, we don't have to follow those laws anymore. You know, I can eat pork today. Yeah, I can eat bacon. I appreciate that." But once again, those laws are not there just for a rule. Why did God give to Israel all those laws? It teaches them about him. You want to be godly? You want to be Christ-like? Learn about God. How can we learn about God? Read his laws. Where do we find his laws? Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And again, do we observe the rule? We observe the principle, the why behind the rule. Because that's going to reveal to us the person that created the rule. So quickly, let's go through the Ten Commandments real fast to see what they teach us about God. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods. What does that teach us about God? Very simple. There can only be one God, and we're not him. One of the greatest heresies of the 21st century is this, that mankind has replaced God, not with things, but with themselves. We're not God. There's only one God. Definition of God, supreme being. How many can be supreme? Only one. If you have two, they're not supreme. If you have 3 billion, they're not supreme. There's only one God. Commandment number two, you shall have no graven images, no false idols, nothing to replace God. He is a jealous God. Get that? He is a jealous God. Not jealous in a negative sense, but jealous in a positive sense. Don't follow anybody else but me. False security in our lives, I think, are our idols today. I don't trust in God. I got a paycheck. I got a job. I got an IRA. I got a pension. I have money in the bank. I don't need God. That's what we say today. What was that song we sang just a few moments ago? I am God alone. Rule number three, don't take God's name in vain. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. This is what God said in the book of Leviticus. God is trustworthy. He means what he says. I do not have to, I swear by God. Oh, I swear to God. If I'm saying I'm telling the truth and I'm godly, that should be enough, right? It's enough for God. Rule number four, keep the Sabbath day holy. Okay, Bob. That's Old Testament stuff. Really? Law number one, we honor God with our loyalty. Commandment number one. Commandment number two, we honor God with our thought life, what we perceive as our security. Law number three, we honor God with our words. And number four, we honor God with our time. God is a God of order, a time and a place for everything, which includes a time to rest. Keep the Sabbath day holy. That's what we learn about God. Rule number five, honor your father and mother. He is a God of relationships. He is our Father. I learned a long time ago, any problem I had with my dad reflected on my spiritual development and my problems with God. The two are intertwined. We tend to treat God, our Father, the same way we would treat God, or rather our fathers, here on earth. Are you a dad? Does that thought scare you? It should. Rule number 6, do not murder. Oh, I'm good here. I've never killed anyone. Here's what Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Not all of life should be sacred. See the next two words? Abortion. Life is sacred. Gossiping. Life is sacred. Life comes from God, and we are created in His image. Number 7, do not commit adultery. Sex is for a committed marriage relationship. Sex is not to build ego trips. Marriage is a picture of our relationship with God. Right? The church is talked about as the bride of Christ. Do you remember Hosea back in the Old Testament? He was the guy that God ordered to marry a prostitute. Why? To teach Israel about what their special relationship was to be. God is faithful to us. We should be faithful to Him, and the Him or her that God has given us as a marriage spouse. Rule number 8, what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Do not steal. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you trust God to provide us with our needs or not? If I go steal something, am I trusting God to provide me with our needs? Extra thought here I'm going to throw in for no extra value, okay? No extra price. Here you go. You realize that 53% of the population of this country lives on less than this a day. Population, 53%, more than half the people in the world live on less than $2 a day. Now, I could crimple this up and throw it in the audience and not miss it, right? It's just a buck, just $2, big deal, right? This is a day's life for more than half the population of this world. Now, the average American, what do they make? $2 a day? Right, $200 a day, right? $1,000 a week, $52,000 a year, $200 a day. In other words, 100% more than what 53% of the world live on. But we don't consider ourselves to be rich. Hello? Hello? Yeah, we're rich. But what about it? We always want more, don't we? Have you ever seen this poster? Go against the flow. all the fish are swimming this way except this one. What's this one? A Christian? Go against the flow. Go against the flow. Do you believe that God supplies your needs? Then we're good, aren't we? Rule number 9, do not bear false witness. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the author of all truth. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The nature of God, what's contrary to the nature of God. So God says, here's rule number 8, don't lie. Or rule number 9. Rule number 10, do not covet. Verse for Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. God is the supplier of all good things. We're supposed to be talking about rule number 8. I got 3 minutes. Here we go. Stop a thief. This is what Martin Luther said about stealing. For stealing signifies not only emptying chests and pockets, but also taking advantage of others at market. Warehouses, wine, beer shops, workshops, in short, wherever men transact business and give money for goods and labor. Here's what I define thievery or stealing as: depriving another person of what they have a right to. Remember how we summarize, or how Jesus summarized the law? Loving others? Showing love to our neighbor requires us to hold his or her possessions sacred with our respect to them and to God. Well, how do you show respect to God by not stealing from your neighbor? Very simple. Stealing from another person is not just disrespectful to them, it is more importantly disrespectful to God. Ownership is stewardship. God lends things to us. I don't own my house. I do not own my car. Oh yeah, they're paid for, but I don't own them. God is letting me borrow them. It is not God's will that we have anything that he has not given us. Stealing's wrong. Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong. Add 1/5 to it and give it all to the person he has wronged. Here's a story I heard. 8-year-old boy goes to school. On his teacher's desk is a small bag of cookies that the teacher brought for her lunch. He decided to steal the cookies and eat them himself. Can you see an 8-year-old boy doing it? Of course you can. Well, the principal found out about it, and the principal called the boy's father and said, look, you know, I understand he's just being a boy. This is not a big thing. Dad said, oh, yes, it is. I want you to throw the book at my son. And so his son was suspended from school for one day. His dad took the next day off work. and made his son do chores around the house all day. And then in the afternoon, his dad said, I want you to go to your piggy bank. I want you to get the money you have saved up. And we're going to the store. And they went to the store. And they bought some flour. They bought some chocolate chips. They bought some sugar. And the other ingredients you need. And they went home, and his son baked cookies to give to the teacher. Add 1/5 to it and give it to all the persons you have wronged. Restitution. Remember Zacchaeus? Remember him? He stole a lot of money, didn't he? And when he met Jesus, what did Zacchaeus say? Any money that I have taken wrongfully, I'm going to restore, you remember? 4 times what I took. There's the principle. How do we steal today? Here you go. Number one, a theft of time. We start work late. Where I work now, you can punch in 5 minutes late and not be deducted from your paycheck. And a lot of people take advantage of that, and they come in 4 minutes late. I can get away with it. Late for work? Or leave early? I used to take my eighth graders down to Washington, D.C. You ever been in Washington, D.C. Friday afternoon about 3 o'clock? It's interesting. All these federal employees are supposed to be working till 5. What happens at 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday afternoon? Oh, they all go home. Leave early for work. Take a long lunch break. Take a long coffee break. Waste time. Do you know when most people plan their vacations? At work. Isn't that ironic? They're supposed to be working, and they're planning their vacation from work. You're stealing time. Number two, they give false value for money. They overprice. They use poor materials. They do shoddy work. A long time ago, I read a book by a leading entrepreneur in the United States. The title of the book was Good Enough, Seldom Is. This is an unsaved man. Good enough, seldom is. Number three, debts are not repaid or not paid on time. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. That's what Paul said. If you don't pay your bills on time, you're stealing. Number four, you steal a reputation. Shakespeare said, who steals my purse steals trash. But he that filches, that's a good word, isn't it? But he that filches my good name makes me poor indeed. Don't steal another person's reputation. Number five, stealing someone else's ideas or work. You realize that plagiarism is illegal. It's not just wrong, it's against the law. I'm not supposed to steal other people's work. Number six, they'll never miss it. This is what people love about big corporations, especially insurance companies, right? We all hate them. The government. Oh, if I cheat on my taxes, is the government going to miss $25 coming from me? Well, they are, you know, what is it, $20 million or $20 billion in debt? But anyways, will they miss it? You know something? They may not. I don't think GM is going to miss $25, right? I don't think Allstate is going to miss $25. But that's not the point. It's wrong. You're not supposed to steal. Period. I'm not going to say anything. You can read. It's God's Spirit talking to you. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands. Why? That he may have something to share with those in need. Remember the $2? Remember that? Summarize the law in 2 commandments. Love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do not steal, but rather have your own job, make your own money so that you can. Why do we want to give to those who have needs? It's what God does. You get it? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you want to share yourself with us. You want us to know you better. And Father, we confess that so often we fail you, but we rejoice knowing that you never fail us. God, thank you for showing us who you are. And let us read these laws so that we can get to know you better and live lives that are more rewarding, that are more satisfying, that are more God-like. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.